Blog Talk Radio. family. All right. Let me get my volume together. I hope everybody is doing fantastic. Happy Monday, happy Monday, happy day of reflection. Happy spring. Spring is springing. I know we saw some cherry blossoms down the hill, daffodils and some other flowers. So spring is springing. I hope that everyone can hear me well. Feel free to text me or drop a message in the chat if you cannot hear me, but hopefully you can hear me quite well. Let me make sure my volume is up on the phone. So everything is going to be copacetic and y'all can hear me well. Okay. So I hope everybody's feeling well. If anyone is not feeling well, I definitely wish you healing and peace. I wish you love and light. I know that there's a lot going on in the world as usual, but we're going to cover some things tonight. I also want to wish all of my fellow Aries happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Troy. Happy birthday to Cherie. Of course, happy birthday to myself. Hello, it was a wonderful celebration. But happy birthday to all the beautiful Aries out there. Happy birthday to Quita. Everybody who is an Aries that I know, and even if I don't know you, if you're an Aries, happy birthday and one love. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. All right. Now, you know what? I like to bring you information that you might not necessarily be aware of. And, you know, that's easy. It can happen easily because there's always so much happening. So I'm going to do my best to bring you stories that are covered by mainstream media and other stories that are just not being covered. So, I don't know if you're aware of this, and this is deep. There's a brother who's in prison right now in Denver, Colorado. His name is Clarence Moses L. He is incarcerated for a case where a woman had a dream that he raped her. Yes, you heard me clearly. A dream. This man has been in prison for 28 years over a dream. Yes, D-R-E-A-M, a dream. Like when you go to sleep and you have a dream or you have a nightmare or whatever you have while you're sleeping. We very well know that it is not reality. It is a dream. I have very, very vivid dreams. Never in my wildest dreams would I think of accusing someone who possibly accosted me in some type of way in a dream. I would never think to go after that person. However, this woman in her delusional sense of reality brought this case to bear and telling you about this particular situation because I want you to realize just how feared the black man is in this country. Black men and women and children are feared in America. Feared to a point where someone can get convicted of rape and serve time, 28 years, family, for a white woman having a dream. A dream. Now, the good news is, he may finally be freed because another judge has overturned his conviction. I guess that judge has enough sensibility to realize that a dream does not institute a conviction on an act that did not happen in reality. But can you imagine this? Now, this case is not being covered by mainstream media at all. Of course not. They have other things that they're trying to get out and, you know, the whole nine. But this man has lost 28 years of his life over a damn dream. Let that marinate for just a second. Really important for us to come to grips with certain things and realize that racism the purpose of the prison industrial complex and discrimination is alive and well. I don't like it when I hear people, especially a white Republican, talk about how racism does not exist. First of all, let us just reflect upon what racism is, because when you hear them scream about quote-unquote reverse racism, that is an impossibility. Perhaps maybe in a few more hundred years that could be possible, but right now it's not. Racism is an industrial construct that has been developed in order for white people to continue to thrive and denigrate black people. Whether it is a discrimination in voting, whether it's discrimination in housing, redlining, gerrymandering, urban renewal, all of these things are racial in some context. Even when it comes to getting loans in banks, getting a job, all these things we know very well, especially in dealing with the police, whether we're getting pulled over for a busted taillight, we didn't make our turn signal visible until the last minute, we ran a stop sign, whatever. Black people wind up dead after some of these particular traffic infractions, whereas most white people are spared, of course, and 9 times out of 10, they don't even get a ticket. There was a deep video I watched about white privilege done, I think, it might have been produced by a black person, but white people were speaking throughout this video about how they have gotten over when they've committed a traffic infraction. Even speeding. I had one of the white women was talking about, I speed all the time. I've never gotten a ticket. I might get pulled over, but they always let me go. I speed everywhere I go. This is what she said. You have other individuals who always talk about the opportunities that they have been able to take advantage of that they know black people would never be able to take advantage of. So all of that, in a nutshell, is racism. Black people cannot be racist against white people. We could be prejudiced. We could be bigots. But we cannot be racist. Why, Amina? Why can't we be racist? Because we do not hold the power in the power-struck nation to do so. I am so serious. Black people, Latino people, even Asian people cannot be racist. We can only be prejudiced at that, at best prejudiced. We do not make the decisions. We did not write the Constitution, although Thomas Jefferson did receive a lot of input from the Moors at the time, who were telling them where to go and what have you and how to institute a constitution, because they had no idea about what a constitution was and how to actually administer a constitution. However, of course, the Moors don't get any credit for that. They're not, none of their signatures are on the Declaration of Independence at all. So realize, overstand, and understand, black people cannot be racist. Racism is a construct. It deals with money, power, land, politics, all types of areas that we are not in fully, we don't fully control. I need that to sink in. The next time somebody tells you that a black person is being racist, or if we see a politician, particularly a Republican, say that black people are using reverse racism to get what they want, or that the NAACP practices reverse racism, there's no such thing as reverse racism. No such thing. They just make stuff up because they want to whine and bitch and moan and complain, pardon my vernacular. But seriously, are not at a point in this nation, I don't know if we will ever be at a point in this nation where we can be racist. I'm so serious. As I said, at best, we can only be prejudiced. And being prejudiced does not enable me as an individual to disqualify you for a loan. I don't have the power to group off certain sections of certain neighborhoods and say that white people can't live here. We don't have the power to do that. Even when we have established progressive neighborhoods and progressive communities and areas, what happens? They get burnt down. They get flooded, even. I know that they are presently working on a movie with regard to Lake Lanier. I spoke about this a few months ago. Lake Lanier, underneath Lake Lanier, is a whole black town. And the government and individuals in certain positions decided to flood all of that land and turn it into a lake for white people to enjoy. Underneath that lake is a whole black neighborhood. And so there's going to be a movie coming out, I don't know when, but I know they're working on it, with regard to the story of Lake Lanier and the original inhabitants of that town. I want to say it was Oscarville or something like that. But This is what happens to us. And we have many sunken black towns all across America. Because when we're doing so well and everything is wonderful, we're shopping with each other. We have movie theaters and cab stands, and we've got a hospital, and we have all these wonderful things. People seek to come and ruin it, destroy it, or erase it as if it never existed in the first place. So, recapping, keep Brother Clarence Moses L. in your thoughts and prayers. I pray he gets out soon. I pray he's exonerated, and I pray that he will be financially compensated for the 28 years that he was falsely imprisoned. How you put somebody in prison for a dream? That's how fierce it is for us. We cannot lose sight of that. I know there's been so many of us that just, doing our best to assimilate and be as white as we can be. And I'm just like, no, because you're not. Stop that. If you really knew the power within you, you wouldn't want to look like or be like somebody else. You would just want to be who you are, your beautiful, magnificent self. But we have been so bamboozled, so hoodwinked, so beaten down by white supremacy that some of us just can't help but look like our oppressor. So while all these black women out here buying all this Peruvian and Indian hair, think. Because I'll be damned if I want to look like my oppressor. I don't want to look anything like my oppressor. Nothing like them. Now, when I was younger, yes, my mother had my hair pressed. This was done without my approval anyway. So naturally, yeah, I splashed into getting a perm and stuff like that. That was for a few years, and then that was over. Over. I grew my own hair out. I had my hair braided. I had my hair twisted. And eventually I had locks all the way down past my knees. Life can be difficult when you don't love who you are. And you can try to fit in as much as you want to. But life can be very difficult for you if you don't love who you really are. Whether you're nappy, curly, whatever your situation is, whether you're light, whether you're dark, whatever your situation is, if you don't really love who you are, overall, life can be painful. It can be difficult for you. So I just urge all of us to love who we really are, to not be afraid of the sunshine, to get out in the sun and get that food from the sun, that DNA upgrading that we receive in the sun. We got these commercials out here talking about, skin cancer happens from the sun. Da, da, da. Yes, it can, but for melanin-dominant people, not so much. Okay? Infrared, UV rays are healthy for us. It also helps to stimulate our pineal gland, which the white man thought was dead and useless in humans until discovering the cadavers of Vietnam veterans and seeing that they had a healthy, juicy pineal gland. Because in a lot of white people, the pineal gland is calcified, like your fingernail. It's hard. It's not active. It's not juicy. But in melanin-dominant people, the pineal gland is active. It is juicy. It does what it's supposed to do, which is why we have intuition, which is why we have so much creativity, why we move with the rhythm of the universe, and we can dance, and we can play drums and play instruments. Some of us don't even have lessons, and we know how to play these things, and we know how to dance and do all these wonderful things. Other people have to study for years and years and years and years and years. And I'm not saying that drummers or percussionists don't practice. Yes, they do. But I'm talking about what's innate. And a lot of us have so much innate ability. It's off the chain. And so much has been done and continues to be done to kill that within us. That's why they put fluoride in your water. Fluoride has absolutely no health benefit whatsoever. Even believe the hype. Whether you're talking about fluoride in your toothpaste, fluoride has no benefit to a human being. But you know what fluoride does do? Fluoride will calcify your pineal gland. And some of you may be wondering, well, what is she talking about? What's this kind of pineal gland thing? Your pineal gland is a very, very small gland which is inside of your brain. It is in the innermost part of your brain. It's very small. It's about the size of half of the tip of your pinky finger. And it is responsible for things like intuition and spiritual connectivity to the universe and to what we would consider God. That's the pineal gland. Pituitary gland is responsible for growth. It emits hormones for your growth, which is why we go from being little children. You can put a boy next to a girl at 5 years old, and the only thing that's going to be relatively different is the fact that the boy has a penis and the girl has a vagina, but neither one of them has breasts. Little girls don't have big breasts at five. Okay, as they grow, the growth hormone in each individual affects them differently. So once we reach adolescence, right, that's when girls begin to bud breasts. Boys may develop the beginning of facial hair and things like that, or pubic hair. Then we get older. You know, within women, our growth hormone will stimulate a menstrual cycle. It allows us to become impregnated so that we can have children and bring forth life. In males, it will stimulate testosterone and the production of testosterone so that semen will be produced, so that eggs will be fertilized. As we get older, women will develop menopause, which is the end of the menstrual cycle. In some women, it never really ends. It just kind of dissipates, and maybe they'll get their cycle once a year, once every 2 years. But in many instances, the woman is so fertile, which is why you can have women that are 70 years old giving birth. It happens, especially in more rural countries and areas where women are not bombarded by drugs and chemicals and even 5G and things like that. Very interesting. So we're special. And your pituitary gland is controlling your growth. Then you got the hypothalamus gland. The hypothalamus gland is responsible for all your emotions and wants, okay? Whether you're hungry, whether you're horny, whether you want something sweet, whether you're angry, whether you're bitter, whether you're sad, whether you're depressed, whether you're excited, whether you're really happy, all of that is governed by your hypothalamus gland. These are the three major glands in your brain is so amazing and so awesome. It's off the chain. Do you know that there is a pool of clear, liquid melanin in the back of your brain? And this is why things like racism really tick me off. Because as human beings, We are bathing in melanin. When a baby is in its mother's uterus and in the womb, it's swimming in melanin. If we didn't have melanin in our eyes, we wouldn't be able to see. If we didn't have melanin, you look at your iris, look at your pupil. Look how black your pupil is. I don't care what color you are. Look how black your pupil is, melanin. You have melanin in your ears. That's why we can hear. You have melanin receptors in your nose, which is why you can smell. Everyone has this, unless you are an individual who's blind or deaf or can't taste things. You've got melanin receptors in your tongue so you can taste. Melanin is awesome. And so those of us who are bathed in it outwardly, meaning that it's in our skin, all over our skin, we're not necessarily freckles, because what are freckles? Freckles are melanin dots. You see people who have lots and lots and lots of freckles. I've seen white people who have so many freckles, if you just fill in the little areas, they're going to be black. Melanin is amazing. Melanin is a true universal God particle. Melanin is in space. So all this insecurity about black and white and all this other stuff is so banal and absolutely stupid, because we are all reflections of life. But there's so much envy and jealousy and hatred that comes from the quote-unquote European, which then castigates the person who has the melanin dominance in the skin. When most, even biologists and chemists, truly understand that it is the melanated being who is gifted beyond knowledge, beyond what anyone can really understand, understand, or understand. They know this. And if you just look at us and how we perform, you can see it quite clearly. Even when we're playing ball, we're playing football, basketball, whatever, golf, whatever, we are the top. We are killing it. That's why they don't want to let us in. Dr. Frances Press Welsing, Ibaye, I love that woman. She used to talk about how in sports, they give all the big colored balls, and they let the black and brown people play with the big colored balls, but the little balls are for the white people. And I was like, ooh. So the little balls, like the golf ball, the tennis ball, the bocce ball, baseball, the little balls are dominated by white people, at least at that time. Now, as you can see, when they let Venus and Serena into tennis, what? It was a wrap. When they let Tiger Woods and BJ Singh into golf, it was a wrap. But I felt her observation was quite keen. And this book was written like early 80s, so, you know, it had relevance at that time. But, you know, we're now in 2023, honey, so many wonderful things are happening. And I believe that that's also one of the other reasons why they're pushing for their depopulation campaign. And they're doing a good job. You know, they've got people hyped up on what happened a couple of years ago with the COVID and the hot sauce and blah, 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 blah. And so some people are going to be in a heap of trouble. But it's just very interesting how things move and how history can repeat itself if you don't know it. When I read about this case with this brother in prison for 28 years over a dream, it took me right back to Jim Crow. And we know that there are certain Republicans and certain Republican states that seek to bring that back. So just beware, pay attention, And that's kind of heavy. So continue to please keep Clarence Moses L. And by his last name being L., that means he's a Moor. And you know, government does not like the Moors a whole lot, because the Moors have a completely different set of rules and laws that they live by, and they're not bound to be a citizen of the United States of America. That's a whole other episode that I could do with y'all. You'll be like, what? I'm just saying, ultimately speaking, if most of the people I'm talking to right now, and even myself, we're straw people. We're straw men. So this brother here, I really pray that he gets not cessation for being in prison for 28 years over again. Okay? Moving on to my next story. Unfortunately, earlier today, this morning around 8:50 or so, four people were killed in Louisville, Kentucky, in a bank. Apparently, the gunman is also dead. Now, this is heavy, because I'll be right there. Not good. Okay, officers say that it was a lone gunman, and he had ties to the bank. He was actually a former employee, so who knows what his past supervisor did, but somebody's not happy. But somebody's dead as well. The authorities are still looking into the motive. At this time, two police officers and seven civilians are being treated for injuries that were sustained during the shooting. The shooter's name was Connor Sturgeon, a 25-year-old white male, and he was the sole assailant. He was killed by police after he fired on them. Now, so live streamed the shooting. And I'm like, what is with that? What is with these people that want to live stream murders? Like, just be honest, nothing. And then here they're killed anyway. So I guess at that point the phone dropped. I don't know what happened. But I don't understand what that's about. And as I stated last Monday, America really has a serious problem with mental health. The Democrats blame guns, but it's the people who are not mentally fit that are committing these horrible shootings. Like, we have issues with mental health in this country, which is why I'm bringing some new stuff to the table. Stay tuned for that. I'll let you all know. But, you know, I've been working in mental health for a while. I've been in the social work field for over 30 years. And I'm seeking to do my best to help people bring peace to their lives, because this is ridiculous. And I know we have a lot of depression. A lot of people are still tripping from after COVID and after being locked down and da-da-da-da-da. And I always say, you got to be careful. Don't obey too much, because Lord knows I was not locked down. We were not locked down, honey. We were out. Out and about. We traveled. We went all over the place. I was not fazed by nobody's COVID situation. Maybe for like 4 days, and after that, it was like, okay, no. We're going to live, and we're going to do what we know how to do. At which time, I also heard from a lot of my constituents about the ones that were out, okay, the ones, you know, people were sneaking out. Ain't nobody sneaking. We just going out. But everybody talks about how they saw so many cell phone towers being erected, and, you know, that was all about them instituting 5G and making sure they have that everywhere, to the point where, of course, it's debilitating to people's health. Many individuals who had towers installed on top of their building, excuse me, if they live in an apartment building, began developing issues with their health, nosebleeds, severe headaches, nausea. You had workers that were installing the towers that were getting burns on their hands, nosebleeds again, severe headaches. You know, there's another reason why I keep talking about get out the city, get out the city, get out the city, because the city is just being bathed in it. You know, I mentioned this to you guys before. I actually have a radioactive meter, and even when I just put it up to my laptop or my flat screen TV or my cell phone, it registers as being too high. The exposure is too high. which is why I don't put my laptop on my lap. And I try not to hold my phone as much. I use my headset for conversations most of the time. And I'm not right next to the TV when the television is on. But we are being bathed in radiation, and people are wondering why they're sick and why different people are developing cancer and all types of things. And I've covered this in prior years. You can go back and listen to other episodes, but it's a lot. And at the same time, when this particular event was going on in Louisville, down the street from the incident, a woman was shot and killed by another male assailant. Like, not soon after the first incident in the bank, someone else is shot and killed down the block. So I'm like, what's going on in Kentucky? You know, I could really say what's going on in America because it's the country, you know. But this is the 15th mass shooting this year in which four or more victims were killed. We're not even halfway through the year yet. It's April. Like, we have got to do better. And I'm really hoping that certain institutions like schools, and even in certain work environments, that there are people paying attention to other people. You see somebody getting ready to clock, or if you know someone who's under immense stress, talk to them. Don't isolate them. Feel isolated. Like, let people know you care. That is missing. And it doesn't even have to be someone that you know. I remember one time I saw a young girl, a white girl. I was down at Chamber Street Station in New York City. And I'm going home from a hard day. I'm tired, you know, whatever, but I'm going home. And she was crying. And I don't like to see people upset. I don't care who you are. So I went over to her and I said, excuse me, miss, are you okay? You know, and she looked at me kind of surprised or whatever, but she was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to talk about it? Are you okay? And we began to talk and, you know, I helped her feel better. I gave her some tissues and, you know, so on and so forth. And I'm like, you know, I just basically reiterated that, you know, we're human beings. We all have a bad day. We all have situations that come into our lives that are unsettling or, you know, disappointing or even catastrophic, but what we do make it through, we will make it through. And I was like, you're going to be okay, you know. I mean, she discussed, you know, what was wrong and what have you, but I remember that like it was yesterday. This is a while ago, but because it was a stranger, I've done this to people, yeah, all my life. I've gone, if I see you and you're distressed, I'm going to ask you if you're okay.
Period.
I'm not going to act like, oh, it's not my business, she behind. No. No, because I feel like if the universe had me in that place and time in the moment, then I can possibly help. I don't know. She could have been thinking about jumping on the tracks and killing herself. I have no idea. But I know it doesn't cost anything to give someone compassion at all. It doesn't cost anything to care. And we have got to get better taking care of each other, even if we don't know each other. So what? We got to get a little bit better, y'all. Tells me that this stuff is not really going to calm down too soon because people are really stressed out. You know, so, and if you are one, I'm just going to put this out there real quick. If you are one and you're going through a stressful time, or even if you need some order in your life, like, hit me up. You can hit me up. I'm on Instagram, Queen Oracle Nebula on Instagram. I'm Amina KSL on Facebook. If you have my number, hit me up. If you know someone who needs my number and you have my number, give it to them. Have them text me. It's okay. It's okay, because we got to heal. We got to really know that no matter what goes on, we can make it through the problem. We can make it through. And I know some people kind of don't really believe that, and that's what leads to suicide. But the universe will give you instances and situations for you to move through so you can grow. Not to tear you down, not to kill you, so you can grow. It will never give you anything that you can't handle. You may think, I can't handle it. Really, you can, or it would not have come to you. So take some of that free advice right there. All right. My next story. This one, you know, we've been pressing our noses to the screen damn near on this one. However, you know, Donald J. Trump continues to push the envelope. Okay, so not only did he give the most stupid speech at Mar-a-Lago after he returned from court last week when he was arrested and arraigned, but he continues to threaten the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, as well as the judge in this New York City case. Now, his children, specifically Don Jr., have had the gall to berate the judge's wife and children even. I'm like, who does this? I really don't understand who does this. These people are definitely missing a few chromosomes, okay? They don't have all the chromosomes they're supposed to have. You can kind of tell when you look at them that something ain't right. However, I'm just saying it for the record, because you got to be off of their mind if you want to threaten a judge, let alone the attorney general, okay? So a lot of us are truly hoping that these actions will damage Trump's case even further. Hopefully, maybe he'll even be held in contempt of court. That would be great. Put an RS jumpsuit on him. Okay? Again, it is against the law to threaten a district attorney or a judge. It's against the law. So we'll see what happens. Okay? We will see. But I find this very interesting. Now, I know he's not really due in court with regard to this case until December. I don't know if the judge can call him in the meantime to address these threats. Like, you're threatening the judge's wife and children because you're threatening the judge's daughter. Like, who are you? And why do you feel like you are beyond the law? And I really believe that something really should be done, because you don't want it to catch on, because if they can do it, anybody can do it, so they think. So we'll see what happens. I am definitely paying attention to these tweets. And, you know, we're going to see what happens. But I just find it very, very interesting that they have the gall to do so. And I'm really hoping that the judge will bring the hammer down on them. Because anybody else would be held in contempt of court and possibly in prison, like jail. It's going to be interesting. You know, he has his other cases that are also coming up. There's one more in New York with our, Tish James, Letitia James. She is the, not attorney general, she's bigger than that. It's escaping me right now, but you know what I'm talking about. He's got his case with her, and he's got his case in Georgia, down there as well. He is in a heap of trouble. We're going to see what happens with all of this. I know that most people did not expect there to be, 34 felony counts? People thought, oh, it's just a misdemeanor, it's just going to be what, no. These are felonies. That packs a much bigger punch. You know, a felony is different than a misdemeanor, honey. So, paying attention to that, and I'll keep you abreast as we continue to go on in weeks ahead. But I'm like, oof. Attorney General, that's what I'm trying to say. Tish James is Attorney General, and so is the sister in Georgia. So it's not going to be cute. We're going to see what happens. We will see. So, moving forward, I know you all are aware of what has happened in Tennessee. Because we had Representative Justin J. Pearson and Justin Jones, who were both expelled from Tennessee State Legislature after they protested with hundreds of students and parents who were at the state building in Tennessee after the mass school shooting at Nashville Covenant School. It left 6 people dead, including 3 students. And this occurred, of course, on March 27th of this year. So there was also a white female representative, Gloria Johnson, who was also in the chopping block, but she was spared her expulsion. Showed their whole ass on April 6th by expelling these 2 brothers, okay? People ask me why I don't want to live in the South. Well, this could be one. In any event, breaking news, the Nashville Metropolitan Council on Monday, today, voted to return Justin Jones to the state legislature after he was removed last week by Republicans for protesting gun violence on the House floor. Now, Jones, just so you know, is the Filipino black brother, and Justin Pearson is the brother with the beautiful afro, just so you can tell the difference between the both of them physically. But both of them are brilliant. They were amazing in their protests and what they were doing and what they said. Brilliant, wonderful speakers. They're some powerful brothers, so apparently Justin Jones has been reinstated. They were present at today's meeting. Unanimously supported reinstating Jones as a state legislator. The council had suspended its own rules to allow an immediate vote on Jones' seat instead of holding a month-long nomination period. Less than an hour later, Jones was sworn in on the steps of the Capitol. So, quote, today we send a resounding message that democracy will not be killed in the cover of silence, Jones said, speaking in front of the Tennessee State Capitol after the vote. Quote, this is not about one person. It's not about one position. It's about movement, end quote. Jones and fellow Democrat Justin Pearson, who again are both black, were expelled on Thursday in votes that drew national attention to racial dynamics in the state's top legislative body. Representative Gloria Johnson had led supporters in chants calling for gun control measures after a shooting in a Nashville school that killed 6 people, which I mentioned earlier, including 3 9-year-old children. The 3 broke house rules and used the bullhorn when they were not recognized to speak. So, of course, that got all the rest of the Republican Tennessee state legislators panties in a bunch, and they decided to expel them. But they only expelled Jones and Pearson. The white woman, Johnson, she survived her vote, okay? So she even suggested in an interview that it all had to do with her race because she's white. So she was spared. After Monday's council meeting, hundreds of demonstrators who had assembled outside the Metro Nashville Courthouse marched to the Tennessee State Capitol, and they chanted, quote, this is what democracy looks like, end quote, as Jones and Pearson marched with them. Quote, you might try and silence it, you might try and expel it, but the people's power will not be stopped. That's what Pearson said. The Shelby County Board of Commissioners, the body charged with choosing Pearson's successor, will meet Wednesday to consider action to reappoint Pearson to his seat, Chairman Michael Lowry announced yesterday. Quote, I believe the expulsion of State Representative Justin Pearson was conducted in a hasty manner without consideration of other corrective action methods, end quote, Lowry said in a statement. He also said, I believe that the ramifications for our great state are still yet to be seen. Fill the vacancies, including Jones and Pearson. Quote, the 2 governing bodies will make the decision as to who they want to appoint to those seats, end quote, a spokesperson for Sexton wrote in a statement. Quote, those 2 individuals will be seated as representatives as the Constitution requires, end quote. So in interviews since their expulsion, Jones and Pearson said that they have felt tensions among their fellow lawmakers since starting in the majority white legislature. Jones said he and Pearson had a target on them since they joined the legislature because of their race, age, and activist background. Pearson added, quote, when you have people who make comments about hanging you on a tree and hanging black people on a tree as a form of capital punishment, when you wear a dashiki on the House floor and a member gets up and they talk about your dashiki saying it's unprofessional, they're really sending signals that you don't belong here, end quote. Democrats in Washington have rallied around Jones and Pearson since their expulsion. Vice President Kamala Harris traveled to Nashville on Friday to meet with the Tennessee Three, as the group has been called, praising them for channeling their constituents' voices and speaking out against gun violence. President Joe Biden also called the lawmakers and invited them to visit the White House. You know they're not going to get McDonald's. They're going to get real food. Okay, anyway. He had called their expulsion shocking and undemocratic without precedent. Quote, he's a duly elected representative of his constituents. They voted him in. They chose him. They want him to speak for them, end quote, Nashville Metropolitan Council member Suara told NBC News. Quote, we cannot stop the voices of the masses or what the voters wanted. That would not be good for our democracy. What the state did Thursday is that, kill democracy, end quote. Black Nashville residents expressed outrage at the ousting of the two lawmakers, saying it silenced their voices. Quote, it's like our vote doesn't matter, end quote, one of the residents told NBC News. Expulsion from legislature has been a rare punishment reserved for the most serious offenses, with only a few such instances in the last several decades. Unlike those cases, Jones and Pearson were not charged with or convicted of breaking the law. Under state rules, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, a Republican, must schedule a primary for Jones and Pearson's seats within 60 days and a general election within 107 days. Both Jones and Pearson have said they will seek re-election to the seats that they held. So I'm like, maybe these people are actually trying to come to their senses now. I'm like, or maybe they're caving in from the pressure because there were a lot of people that were outside protesting every single day. So hopefully Justin Pearson will also be reinstated. You know, it's a sad thing when the legislative bodies in the South and the Midwest maintain archaic ideas about various topics like abortion, black people's rights, black people in government positions, women's rights, voting rights, etc. In some ways, it's frightening that certain people are hell-bent on going backward in history. As stated in the article I just read, one of the Republican lawmakers in Tennessee actually called to bring lynching back. Like, when is that? And please note that he didn't say hanging. He said lynching. You do know that there's a huge difference between the two. Okay, because lynching can involve, yes, a hanging, also castration, also cutting off body parts and other things, or burning the body that's hanging. That's lynching. Hanging is just hanging. So when you say lynching, you're also making an inference to Willie Lynch of Virginia, from which Lynchburg, Virginia is named after. That's lynching. Lynching is generally committed against black people, okay? Any of you who really understand what I'm saying, maybe you've seen the pictures of whole families being lynched. Hence the song Strange Fruit by the amazing Billie Holiday. Like, lynching is heinous. Hanging is bad itself, but you know, they would hang criminals and bars and whatever. Lynching? Lynching is a whole nother ballgame. And it's specifically slated to people of color. So I know he wasn't mincing his words when he said that he wanted to bring back lynching. Like, I don't like the South. Anyway, as I stated in my last episode, whenever I see, quote, make America great again, the hair on the back of my neck we trademark, stands up. And it pushes me to understand what we're talking about when America made all of its own products, including machinery, textiles, electronics, household goods, and what have you. Okay, because we don't make anything really anymore. But I don't think that that's what they're talking about. Lord knows it's the white politicians who push to outsource damn near everything we ever made. So something does tell me that that's not really what they mean. And it's almost like a little code for bringing slavery back. That's why I always say you have to know history, because if you don't, it has the propensity to repeat itself. And there are many parts of American history that are disgusting, and we do not want coming back. In my mind, they really need to come up with a better slogan. I know that they're, you know, some of them are just all excited about Trump and his court cases and what have you, but I do know that the percentage of support for him is dwindling. White people are coming to their senses and they're like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I can't support him anymore. It's too much. You know, they can't handle it so much anyway. So I was like, it's too much. They don't want to stick behind him too much. So that's why he only looks at his little rallies and things, or when he flies into whatever, has his little rally on a tarmac. It's not a lot of people. It's really not a lot of people. And when I say not a lot of people, I'm talking about less people than a Saturday afternoon soccer match for your seven-year-old. Not a lot of people. Now, I know in certain areas he does have a lot of support, but the Republican machine is starting to get tired. And I even heard some of them talk about how they don't like how he talks about Ron DeSantis. That's another idiot as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what it is about the Republican Party, but you can put everybody's head together and anybody smart. All of those brains don't make one sane brain sometimes. I don't get it. I don't get it. Even, you know, I watched the whole, like episodes on MSNBC where they were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm like, she's another one who's missing a chromosome or two. The elevator is not going all the way to the top. And how does a CrossFit trainer all of a sudden become a congressperson with no experience in politics at all? I'm like, you didn't even run for PCA president first or something? Like, you run for something else. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like they get these positions and they just go gung-ho and they start spitting all this rhetoric and saying all these things that really make them and their party look crazy. And we are paying attention. You know, if you ever want a couple of laughs early in the morning, y'all, check out Morning Joe. Morning Joe's hilarious. They're funny. They go in on it. They're funny. You know, I guess they're trying to keep it light because it's the beginning of the day. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning or something. But, you know, it's interesting. And we're talking about Joe, who used to be a Republican congressperson. Okay, and his wife is the daughter of Brzezinski. Brzezinski, who worked with Nixon, that's her daddy. You can't be more Republican than that, okay? And they're like, no! So, you know, check it out if you ever get an opportunity in the morning, like, good morning, America. Put on Morning Joe. You will get a chuckle. Be careful not to cough on your coffee, because I'm telling you, they're funny. And sometimes it's so matter-of-fact, you know, they have different pundits that come on, and they're so straight-laced, and you can even get a dose of Reverend Al Sharpton, who's always going to keep it real. And they're going in, so, you know, check them out when you get an opportunity. You can also watch them on YouTube and stuff. It's good. It's good news, but it's also entertainment. You know, sometimes you need that sugar in your coffee, because, oof. The Republicans are bitter. You know, like I always say, there's way too much going on in this country at one time, you know, and the world. You know, it's amazing. The drama is ramping up every day. So between crazy Trump and his court cases, the war in Ukraine, which just spun in so many different directions to the public, through the media, the latest pandemic panics, the economy, the Fed about to kill the dollar and introduce Fed Now, which is a digital currency that they're going to be implementing soon. That's a huge deal, and no one is covering that in the mainstream media. The stock market looks like garbage. You know, and I reported on this last episode. And a lot of us are really not ready to just go into digital currency. This is really deep. And in case you do not know, the owner and creator of Cash App was found stabbed to death in his apartment. Hello? Put these dots together, honey. Something ain't right. Then I told you about Saudi Arabia, Thailand, and Pakistan. Wanting to join BRICS, which again is Great Britain, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. In terms of world currency, and this is a big deal. They are talking about switching currency to the Chinese yuan. That had devastating repercussions for the United States and other economies around the world, but it will definitely jack us up. Because right now, everything is being traded in U.S. dollars. They want to switch that over to Chinese yuan. So between that issue floating about and our Federal Reserve talking about instituting Fed Now, and you can look it up. Look it up. I'm not making this up. It's called FEDNOW, Fed Now, and that will be the new We Ain't Ready.
Okay.
Now, maybe they're not talking about this on the news because they don't want people to close their bank accounts. Okay. And my question is, well, what difference would that really make anyway, especially if they're getting rid of paper money? So this is a mess, but it's a silent mess. His mother always says, keep your head on a swivel and pay attention. Now, I'm not really a fan of digital currency in terms of a whole system which is based on merit. Meaning, you know, in China, they own some new stuff. If you jaywalk in China, they will decrease money from your account. Being an American and having been raised in America, we're used to certain liberties. We really are. And that's a lot of what America was based upon, yes? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, hello?
So,
a system of merit that is linked to the digital currency is not a good idea.
You know,
if I was digging it, I would have moved to China a long time ago, but I am not interested.
Okay.
When I keep saying just beware, because America acts like it's a free country, but it does have socialist tendencies. And I understand part of the quote-unquote right are against the socialist tendencies. I get that.
You know,
and if we are not careful, we could become like China or Russia, even. And we don't want it. But it is how they're moving. They're moving slowly. But I know they're aware of it. I know you've got members of Congress and members of the Senate, probably even our own president. They're aware of it. They know what they're doing. They're just not saying anything to us. So they want to manipulate us and mold us and goad us into specific ways of thinking so that they can institute all the little plans that they have. Very similar to the whole thing with COVID-19 and what have you. Then they want to blame China. You can't blame China when America helps to fund the Wuhan Institute. You can't blame China by himself. And under Dr. Fauci, the Wuhan Institute, from whence the virus came from. And it was a plan. It wasn't so much of an accident. It was a plan. They knew that. I'm receiving intel that's telling me, watch out for H1N1, which is the avian bird flu. Now, I remember when the avian bird flu came out. It was the end of the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. And I remember it specifically because they had airplanes and helicopters that were spraying some type of chemical into the air so that the birds would not infect the people. And on those days of spraying, I did not go outside. I called in sick to my job and did not go to work. No, I did not. I was like, I'm not walking around while you're spraying. I'm not doing that. At the time, I did not have my own vehicle, so I was subjected to public transportation. And I lived in Brooklyn, and I worked in Queens. And once I got to Queens, I would walk about 4 to 5 blocks to my school where I worked. I was like, I'm not walking around in this mess. So I didn't go to work. But I will never forget that. And so I'm hearing about avian bird flu, and I'm hearing about, another vaccine that is supposedly already ready to go when this next outbreak happens. So, again, keep your head on a swivel and pay attention. Because there's something ticking. Again, COVID didn't do the job it wanted it to do. I watched a fantastic documentary about how much the hospital system benefited from people who were testing positive. They got different fees for everything. I know they were getting about $33,000 for every person that they put on a ventilator. Positive, they got fees for people who were, had to stay at the hospital and couldn't go home. They had fees for people on ventilators, and they got fees for people who died. Now, of course, none of us saw any of that money. But this is to show you a bit of how the machine really, really works. And it's not pleasant. It's not nice. And it's not good. But it is. If you get an opportunity, look that up on YouTube. Check that out when you get an opportunity. And I knew about it anyway from that time frame because I have wonderful people who give me brilliant information. But it did not escape me because I know how the machine works. And as soon as they came out with it and told people that they couldn't go outside, when one of the number one cures to any type of, especially bronchial disease, is vitamin D, which is direct sunlight, and you're telling people they can't go outside? Meanwhile, you're putting up 5G towers everywhere. But you tell everybody to stay inside. And again, I reiterate, we did not stay inside. We were traveling. We went to the market. We did whatever we had to do. No. And I was very grateful that I no longer lived in New York or New Jersey at that time. I was very grateful for that because the lockdown was really serious. I remember when they were talking about, and they're still having this conversation again, about vaccine passports and how you couldn't go to a restaurant or the movies or anything in New York City unless you showed your proof of vaccination. What? So be very, very leery and weary whenever you hear about those types of programs being implemented. Must believe. It ain't got a damn thing to do for your benefit. It's not about helping you or making you have longevity or no. Nothing to do with that. So get that out your head. Get it out of your head that the United States of America cares about you. Stop that. They make more money on dysfunction. They make more money on illnesses and vaccinations and all this kind of stuff, which kills people anyway. They make so much money off of that. So try not to fall into the trap. Do your best to not fall into these traps, because they're going to ramp it up again. It might be the first place that they're hearing about this. They're going to do it again, and they want to do it with the avian bird flu. So pay attention. And if you do get an opportunity, I always talk about this, please check out Dr. Judy Mikovits. Okay, she's another one. She is not stopping. She does her job. She's a serious one. And she talks about how COVID-19 is not really COVID-19, but COVID-19 is called COVID-19 because it was patented in 2019. But it's not COVID-19. It's SARS-CoV-2, which is something a little bit different. And you all remember SARS and what happened with SARS. And again, I say, if you believe that the American government is not working with the Chinese government to create these diseases and these vaccines, you're an idiot. I love everybody listening to me. You're out of your mind if you honestly believe that we're not connected. Don't forget, the United States has not only has bases, like armed forces bases, but we got laboratories all over the world. Did you know we have a huge laboratory in Ukraine? And that's one of the other reasons why we're giving all this money to Ukraine? Because we got labs there. What is the labs doing? The labs are creating the new H1N1 vaccine. Don't anybody want to tell you that? So, again, I am not trying to incite panic or mayhem. I'm just trying to enlighten you and realize that our government is the one that more than likely is inciting panic and mayhem because they're off the chain. But as I say before, just pay attention. Okay, we live in the land of mass distraction. So try not to get caught up in the nonsense. All right, protect yourself. As I always say, take your vitamins. The weather is beautiful. Go outside, sit in the sun, upgrade your DNA, get that vitamin D, and trust me, you'll be okay. You know, but be careful, because the things that they have planned for us are quite sinister. And it's always going to be wrapped in the guise of making your life better. Don't be fooled. All right, so my top story tonight, which I'm excited about, and like, where are all of my Matrix and Terminator fans? All my Matrix and Terminator fans, please get your ears ready. I had the wonderful pleasure of watching Mrs. Sophia Stewart on several different outlets over the years, but I recently saw her in an interview on the Killer Priest show on YouTube. And she's always astounding. I love listening to this woman. Now, some of you may not know, but Sophia Stewart is a black woman, and she is the sole creator and owner of the Matrix and Terminator stories and movies. Okay? You might see Wachowski in the production, but the Wachowski brothers and their trans sisters did not create these stories. Hollywood, a.k.a. Hollywood. And she won. Now, we're talking about a sister from the Bronx, New York City. Did you know that? It was a very divine interview because she reiterated what I've been saying for years. She reiterated that we are all on this planet in flesh to create and do something that benefits our society and our world. We all have gifts. And it's up to us to find out what those gifts you who are listening to me. Yes, you are gifted. You have something that's special about you. And right about now, I'm really speaking to the individuals who are truly listening. All right? We do not come into flesh for nothing. We are gifted and talented beyond our knowing. Our experience in the flesh is amazing. We just need to sift through the nonsense and find our purpose, because we all have a divine purpose, okay? I always encourage you to find yours and make your magic happen, period. Too many of us are lost and confused. Some of us are waiting for our Savior to save us when it's ourselves that we're actually waiting on, okay? Yesterday was Easter Sunday. Happy Easter.
you know, folks were filled with the joys of Christ's resurrection, but the deepest teachings of Christ were about us becoming Christ and resurrecting ourselves. You know, and I'm not blaspheming, okay? I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you've got to understand that Christianity has been overtaken by the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church has contorted the story and the teachings of Jesus Christ, a.k.a. Yeshua. Okay? And this is also why just reading the Bible alone won't lead you to the salvation that many are seeking. You're going to stay stuck in that book. And I'm sorry to say it, but the Gnostic Gospels, the stories of the Essenes, even the Mild and Mighty Gospels, and other ancient texts are so important to your human development. Okay? After all, knowledge of a higher source, the knowledge of the gods and the Aetherian realm, were well known throughout Africa, way before Yeshua's birth. Okay? He wasn't even the first Christ or Christos, not a name, and there were many before him. He was the Christos for that time. And don't come to me when I tell you that other Christs have come and gone after him. Okay? It's really unfortunate that this isn't taught, okay? But, like, the aforementioned writings are absolutely awesome and astounding, and they should be read. As I've said it before, much of the Old Testament comes from ancient Kemet, a.k.a. Egypt. Remember that Moses, a.k.a. Moshe, was Kemetan / Egyptian. Okay, which is in North Africa where black people live. He studied in the universities and the temples of Kemet. The Torah comes from Kemet, North Africa, of what is in the Torah, which is the Old Testament, the five books of Moses, is Egyptian. In the meantime, we have lost our connection to our own essence. We're eating poisonous food, engaging in poisonous entertainment, believing lies, and we get so caught up in the bullshit, it's insane. However,
I'll say it again,
our soul is eternal, and you need to understand this. Well, some of us are eternal, and others, you do have some other entities now on this planet that are soulless. They don't have a soul, okay? And so those of us who are eternal need to stay away from those who do not have a soul. We have different entities on this planet. Not every entity on this planet is human, and not every human has a soul. And you need to be able to tell the difference. Okay?
This stuff is real.
I'm not playing games. You know, and unfortunately, many of us are really out of touch with the true reality. And we deny the truth. And the truth can be outrageous, but then we believe the lie. You know, and yes, the truth can be ugly, but it's real. The truth can also be beautiful and real. So check this out. Did you know that the word matrix is a 7,000-year-old Latin word for the woman's womb? Now, M-A-T is always going to be feminine. Maternal, maternity, matter even. M-A-T is
feminine. So matrix is a 7,000-year-old word.
It means the woman's womb. In the King James Version, in Exodus, okay? Excuse me. In Exodus 34:19, excuse me. All that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male.
Okay.
Did you know why a doctor will not perform an abortion after 12 weeks? A doctor will not really perform an abortion after 12 weeks because the soul comes into the fetus at 12 weeks. I'll say it one more time. I want you to. A physician will not perform an abortion after 12 weeks because the soul enters into the fetus at 12 weeks. So at that point, they're killing a living soul, and they don't want to do that. Chill on that for just a second. So, she has a new book out, and she continues to tell the future through her work. She actually put herself in the Matrix movies as the Oracle. She is the Oracle in the movie because she is the one who is gifted with sight and knowledge of the future. Remember, she wrote the original story in the 1980s.
Okay?
And so you understand, the Terminator and the Matrix all come from one book. The Terminator is the first part of the story. Let me take you back a bit. Remember how Sarah Connor is the mother of John Connor? And the Terminator comes from the future because the machine Matrix knows that he will rid the Earth of them, so he must be killed. So then Arnold Schwarzenegger comes, and his character is also from the future. But he's fighting with the Alliance that wants to kill the machine. So he comes to protect her and the child.
Now,
stay with me.
John
Connor is also the representation of the coming of the Christ, is why his initials are JC. JC as in Jesus Christ. So he represents the second coming of Christ, which is a higher consciousness. Many of us are embracing this consciousness right now. So this is what Revelations is about.
Okay?
And when you watch the Matrix and Terminator movies again, try to look at them through this lens. View them knowing that a black woman, a half Cherokee, half Portuguese black woman from the Bronx in mind. That's why you had so many black people in the movie, but John Connor was supposed to be Will Smith.
Wouldn't
that have been something? And I talked about this before, you know, but I had to bring it back up again because her interview was astounding. If you get an opportunity, please, just look up Sophia Stewart interviews. She's done many interviews over the years, and she's brilliant. The woman is brilliant, and she's a seer. She can definitely see the future. And she was talking about devices and mechanisms in the 80s that we didn't have at that, but we have now.
Okay. So, again,
the Wachowski brothers and her sister, Rana, had nothing to do with these movies. So, check this out. The FBI advised her to sue in Utah and not in California because California has the most corrupt judges. She eventually won her case by filing RICO charges. Okay? The case cannot be appealed. Her first default judgment was for $150 million. And, sidebar, but would you now believe that Lily Wachowski is claiming that The Matrix is a trans story, and this is because she's trans, she used to be a he, and so apparently Lana Wachowski is trans. What is up with this family? I think this is the second Wachowski to be for her genius, her insight, and her gifts. Again, peace be upon her. Wherever she is a wonderful, amazing, brilliant woman. And She speaks very matter-of-factly. You ain't going to play with her, okay? But check out her, her interviews on YouTube if you get a chance. Her name is Sophia Stewart. She is the mother of the Matrix and Terminator story. And to hear it coming out of her mouth, woo, she's dropping it. And I want this also to be a lesson and example so that you won't be afraid to create, okay? A lot of us have brilliant ideas and concepts, okay? Write your stories, write your songs and your plays or movie treatments, okay? Let it out. Some of us are so talented, and when we seek to create great works, there's no telling what will happen. Let your brilliance shine forth and leave a legacy of greatness behind. I'm so serious. Remember that we all have a gift to share with the world. I always say, like, you know, dig down deep and come up. Things that I always cherish about my parents is that when I get to sing into spoons and ladles and brushes, when I was a little girl, like 6 years old, they didn't tell me to shut up and sit down. You know, they encouraged me. So I would sing with a spoon or whatever I could. There was a fake microphone. And so in the kitchen sink in the kitchen. And then I joined the choir. And then I got, you know, voice lessons and became a voice major and all this kind of stuff. And I sing opera in different languages and all these things. But they never smooshed me or made me feel like I couldn't do it. They didn't kill my dream, so to speak. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know where it would even lead me, but I just know it was something inside of me that I could possibly do. It was the same thing with dancing. Excuse me. And even though I was chunky back in the day, but it didn't stop me from dancing. And I went through a lot. You know, I had teachers and instructors that, especially in high school, that would tell me I couldn't perform because I was overweight. Formed with my church dance company and other independent dance companies. And I danced all the way through college. And I started getting paid for choreography and all these other things. I just say this because I don't want anyone to look at your child and say, like, they don't have any talent. Or even in yourself. You know, especially if you do have a voice, or if you, you know, if you know how to dance, or anything else, or even if you know how to write. You know, we have some amazing writers that don't even know that they're writers. Some people just have the gift of writing. And I say, if that's inside of you, then let it out. You know, write. You know, I mean, you have people who have never played an instrument, but they can conduct the whole orchestra. And that's powerful. So they do know music. You know, you've got other people who take up painting as a hobby. You know, what's his name? Jim Carrey, the actor and comedian, Jim Carrey. He's a brilliant artist. And he paints those humongous pieces that are like 20 feet by 30 feet. And he's on a scaffold and he's lying down and painting. He has brilliant work. Yeah, everybody knows him as an actor and a comedian, but this man is an artist. And that's why I say we have so much inside of us, and sometimes we just need to take the time and discover what that is, because everyone has something special about them. Every one of us has something great that we can do. Yesterday, I don't know if I can remember the name of the movie. My husband and I watched an amazing movie yesterday starring Sidney Poitier and a few other white actors that are, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. The movie yesterday with Sidney Poitier. Something like The Simple Life of, what's his name on it? The Simple Life of, I hate when I get with brain fog. I can't stand it, but it's the most recent Sidney Poitier movie. It's on Netflix. It was so amazing, and it's about a black man who was raised in the Midwest and a very humble life, very simple, humble life. And he was a craftsman. You know, he could make tables and doors and anything out of wood. That was his gift. And he's a master carpenter. And he unfortunately had to deal with white land developers that were interested in buying his land, but he didn't want to sell it. And they were like, oh, I'll offer you $300,000, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I don't want to sell it. Like, this is where I live. This is my home. And he loved it. And so they did everything they could to try to take his land away from him, including having him committed into a mental institution. And by the grace, one of the other characters was a physician, and she came to his aid to get him out, blah, 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 blah. But the land developers continued to encroach upon his land and begin digging with bulldozers and all this heavy machinery that was noisy, and it frustrated him because he was like, I can't even sleep with all this noise, blah, 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 blah. He wound up getting his land back. They did not move forward with the development, blah, blah, blah. But he was a master craftsman. He was amazing. The work was brilliant, beautiful work. And that was his calling. That was his passion. That was what he loved to do. He would study his uncle when he was a child and just look at him work. And then eventually he learned how to do all these different things with wood. But the story was so beautiful. It was a very humbling story. I did cry. I'm sensitive. But it was beautiful. And it just showed me, even though it's a movie, but we all have something that we can give. We all have something inside of us to offer this world. Nobody is born in this world to just take. We're born to give something. Excuse me. Over the weekend, my husband and I had the opportunity of playing a really small Latin Caribbean party at the Black Musical Lounge that we frequent in East Strasbourg called IQ Lounge. And we had a ball. We had fun putting the playlist together in the days before, listening to music and saying, yeah, let's do that, let's play that, blah, blah, blah. I played. We had a ball. And everybody that came had such a wonderful time. And again, I always say it's amazing how much music can influence a person's energy and vibe, you know? So there was a little white man who comes to the lounge regularly, and he comes, he has his cigar. He's on his phone all the time when he's there. But this particular time, I actually saw him padding. Before he left, he made it his business to go to my husband and tell him how fabulous everything was, even like my husband's glasses. And he was just like, this is great. I never saw a man talk ever, aside from get his cigar and whatever he's going to get from the bar and sit down, and then he's on his phone. And I've seen him now probably like 6 times. This is the first time he spoke with emotion and was excited. And I always say, you never know who you touch with music, even a good painting too. But you never know who you're touching because it's audible. So you can have one person or 1,000 people, if they can all hear it, they're receiving the vibration. So I thought it was amazing when I saw him get up in his little plaid pants and go over to my husband before he left, and he stayed for a while. And he went over to my husband and was like, that was great. And he was talking to him, and I was like, oh, my God, he's alive, because the man doesn't talk. I thought it was beautiful. And I was like, wow, he was touched. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Bringing joy to someone's day just through music. He had a wonderful time. You could see it all over his face. You know, I mean, we had friends come up from New Jersey. They had a great time. We had our other friends who lived in the area. They came through. They had wonderful, wonderful time. And what was also interesting was that our friends from New Jersey ran into people that they knew who live up here now. And this is why I always say, you know, don't be nasty to people because you never know who you're talking to. You know, if you want to talk, worry about other people, be careful because you never know who's listening. It pays to be a good person and be smile and be nice, you know. But I thought it was wonderful that they ran into people that they knew who moved up here recently. They had fallen out of touch with each other. And then, boom, they see each other at the lounge at our event. I thought that was fantastic. So, again, I say, your brilliance shines forth. Okay? You have something inside of you. You might even be a tailor or a seamstress, right? You may make beautiful clothing. You might make jewelry that people are like, oh, my God, your jewelry is amazing. Like my sister Mary's hand jewelry, amazing jewelry that she makes. Or our other friends, Anubis jewelry, amazing jewelry. But you had something. You had something inside of you that you and only you can bring forth to this world. So I say, bring it. One of the brilliant things that I love about Dr. James Wimborne is that he definitely, I remember that he would tell me, and we would discuss metaphysics, and we would discuss quantum physics, and universal law, and all these types of things. And it was a blessing to come into his realm, because he believed in me, and he knew I knew what I knew. And so he is the reason why I'm on this network right now. He is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful to give you all this information, and it's my honor and my privilege and my pleasure to share what I know with you. I see I have a hand up. So,
second. Give me 1 second. I usually don't do this, but I'm doing it this week. 602-478. 602-478. Your line is open. Welcome to the Black Alice from Wonderland Radio Show.
How you doing, Queen? It's Pastor Guardian CEO. I'm getting in late. I apologize, but I am here.
That's okay. How are you?
I'm very well, Queen. I'm doing very well. Shout out to Dr. Ron Robinson, Dr. Wimborne, and all the curators of the NEO Project. But I am here. I'm just getting in. I'm a little hairy on the situation, but I'm here. So.
Well, I'm glad that you're with me this week, brother. Thank you so much for being on.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, indeed.
I am
and
here.
And whatever it is that you're going through, just know that everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it.
Amen. We're going to
keep
fighting.
Yes, indeed.
I had to show you some love. I ain't came to your show in a minute, so I said, let me come in and slide through and show the queen some love.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'm hoping that I'm encouraging you and helping you to feel better and
Amen.
Get through what you got to get through.
Amen, I am. But I'm going back on you. I know you got a show and you got a professional setup, so I'm moving out the way. But thank you for all what you do. I got you.
No problem. And you're more than welcome, my brother. Thank you for receiving it, all right? And you stay
yes,
amazing
ma'am.
And blessed. And, again, just know that whatever you're going through, you're going to triumph and you're going to be fine. All right. Peace and love, brother. I'm like, oh, we got a hand up. All right. So, you know, usually I don't do that, family. You know I don't. But something told me to just open up his line. So, again, I just wish the brother light and love and happiness. Whatever it is that he's going through, he's going to triumph. He's going to get through it. Again, I reiterate that the universe does not bring us anything that we can't handle. We can handle everything that comes our way, especially when we know we are a child of God and we are divine, that we're going to be all right. So, you know, much love and light to that brother. I'm almost at the end of my show. I just wanted to continue, you know, and just let you all know that you're beautiful and you're special in your own right. If you don't know that, then just refer to your fingerprints All right? So far to date, nobody has the same fingerprints. So let that be something to tell you how special and unique and divine you are. You have fingerprints that are different from anybody, anywhere. So let that be an indicator for you that you're special, that you're wonderful in your own right. And again, you have purpose. You have intent. You're supposed to be here. In a whole different realm at a whole nother time, you wanted to come in flesh. You wanted to be here. This is something that we do all the time. So even if anyone who's listening has lost a loved one, so-called lost a loved one, because you don't lose anyone. They just transcend into a different energetic form, but they're still with you. You know, and even for ourselves, we cannot be afraid of a transition for ourselves or for anyone else. Because 9 times out of 10, we're going to be back anyway. We're here to learn. We're here to grow and evolve. We're here to receive enlightenment. We're here to become bigger and better than we ever have with each lifetime that we come into. So just realize that we're in a dynamic circle, okay? Life is cyclical, right? We're born, we transition, we go into the light, we come back into flesh. That's what we do. And that's why sometimes I get a little disgusted with the way things are in the world, because if you leave it to the world will tell you that you only have one life and that's it. The world will tell you that you're not divine and special. The world will tell you that you can't have what you want. And all of that is garbage, because you can. You can have what you desire. And I'm going to leave you with this little jewel. If there's something that you truly desire, be it. Be it. All right? If you want love, baby, you got to be love. If you want fame and fortune, then you've got to put yourself in the mindset that that is what you already have. Even if you just want a little bit of extra money, okay, well, see that. Have a vision for that. Sit in that vision. Receive it. But use the power of your mind so that you can achieve your dreams and your goals. Your mind is the most powerful part of you, your mind and your heart, which is why I always say, have good intentions when you do stuff. Y'all got to forgive my husband crunching with the barbecue potato chip bag in the background. Anyway. Ah, crunchy, crunchy, crunchy. Ah, but I had to laugh. He's in here. He's jamming. He's listening to me. He's eating chips. I know y'all hear the rustling bag. You probably like, what the hell is that bag? Anyway, they don't. I'll find out. They'll tell me. In any event, I just really have learned to sit in my seat. We all have a divine seat in the universe. Every one of us have a beautiful seat. Sit in your seat. Don't try to sit in somebody else's seat. That's like you're trying to be somebody that you're not. Be who you are. And again, the lessons that we are here to learn, do your best to learn them without pain. And project as much positive energy as you possibly can through every moment of every day while you live and you learn. Because we are here to do just that. Hey, Sister Dawn. I see Sister Dawn popped up. How are you, my love? I hope everything is wonderful in your world. That sister is an amazing gardener and botanist, okay? What else? Yes, and please support the My Project Neo Network on Blog Talk Radio. There are fantastic shows on here. You even got the Millionaires Network. You've got Pastor Don Jr., CEO. You've got Lon Robinson. You have the Ethiopian World Federation Radio on here. Y'all, there's stuff on this network. So, you know, not just on Monday nights from 7 to 9, but I believe also on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights and Friday nights from 7 to 9. And I think on the weekend, too. There's all types of fabulous programming going on. You know, again, I give a super shout-out to Dr. James Winborn and Reverend Ron Robinson for allowing me this platform. I wish everybody a beautiful, wonderful, progressive week ahead. May it be glorious and loving for you. I'm going to remind everybody to continue to be a good human being, smile at strangers, all right? Help the babies, protect the babies, protect the elderly. Brothers, protect the sisters, and sisters, love the brothers and protect them when necessary as well. Okay, we've got to come together, family. I always say we have to come together. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to come together. There are things that are going on in this world against us. There are things that are happening that seek our demise as a people, and we cannot let that happen. We cannot let it happen. So let's come together. Let's unite. I thank everybody for being on with me this evening and for supporting my show, the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I really give thanks for all of you for listening and participating tonight. Again, that brother that came on, 602-478, I wish you peace and love and light and happiness. And again, super shout out to Dr. James Winborn and the Reverend Ron Robinson. Those brothers got it going on. Yeah, y'all. Life is beautiful. Live it. Enjoy it. And, oh, wait a minute. And go forth and prosper, as I would say. All right, family? Also, if you are in the need or you just feel like listening to some really good music that makes you feel good, honey, go to SoundCloud.com. Please punch in DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL, and get your life. He's got the best music, the best mixes, the most beautiful music. If you're driving cross country or if you're going north to south or even if you're just driving about an hour or so, trust me, this music will get you through and you will feel so good when you get to wherever you're going, okay? That's my wonderful husband. You know, I'm going to be coming up with some mixes myself. I play live mostly, but I always know music is a healing force, and we need healing. We need a healing. All right, and also stay tuned for my newest endeavor. Some irons in the fire, family. So, you know, stay tuned. I'll keep you filled in for it. I'll keep you updated, you know. But just move in love and light as you go forth the rest of this week. And, you know, again, be brilliant and divine. You are divine. There is nobody else like you. So shine your light and be amazing. Because there's nobody else like you anywhere, all right? So be your divine self and show the world that you are love and you give love to the world, all right? Because this world needs love. That Burt Bacharach song from back in the day, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love," is more imminent now than ever before. So be good, be loving, be kind, be light, and perfectly, I will be back next Monday, same time, same network. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. Everybody within the sound of my voice, I'm giving you all a big virtual hug, a big virtual hug. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. You have been listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina. You take care and be brilliant. Shine on, family. One love. Peace.